Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. I'm curious, how many of you are like me and into the Hunger Games? A few of you? Yeah, you are? Well, you maybe are also eagerly reading or watching again the movie, Book 1 and Book 2, right? Are you? Because the third movie is upon us. Are you preparing? Are you preparing? Nobody? Oh, gosh. I've had to refresh my memory because it feels like a long time ago. I had to kind of go back into Book 1 and Book 2 to remember what was going on. If you don't know the Hunger Games, know that I simultaneously love them and hate them. I love them for all the sort of the overarching purpose of them, but I dislike them because of the imagery that sticks with me, and I have to kind of change the story around in order to sleep well at night. It's a scary story, but it's also a powerful one. The setting is this post-apocalyptic era, sometime way in the future. And it's this country, which is divided into 12 different districts. And this country, this society, is ruled by an iron-clad government, where oppression and violence and poverty prevail over all. There's a striking difference between the very few who have much and everyone else who has just a little. But ultimately, what I love about the storyline is that it is a story of hope. It's especially a story of justice and especially a story of love. The apocalyptic stories that we had for today from Scripture do not forecast the future. Instead, they're addressing the present time of what was written in those pieces of Scripture, a time when life for the authors and those who the authors were writing to, a life felt hopeless and difficult. The apocalyptic tone of our readings this morning are sort of like they're paradoxical. They're describing a hopeless state, a difficult, painful time, while pointing out a long history of God's presence in the world. Though things were difficult, they were saying, remember, God is there. God is in the midst of it all. It's almost like the authors for today, they're saying that only as we learn to understand how God has been with us in the past can we come to understand how God is with us in the present, in the difficult challenges. And it's true, we've all faced difficult challenges of different kinds. And perhaps some of us are in them now. Just because Christmas is soon to be upon us doesn't mean life goes away. Challenges to health, struggles of financial needs, challenges in relationships, they continue on despite the season. And many of us have presently or in the past faced deep and profound struggles which have caused us to doubt faith and caused us, I hope, to dig deeper. And sometimes, maybe you are like me and you wish that God was sort of like a magician who could just come in and wave a wand and make everything so much better and easier. Change all of the circumstances with one quick fell swoop. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is someone Pastor Jeff is currently reminding us of, and he is famous for his theological work as he was in Germany during the reign of Hitler. He was imprisoned for being a part of a group of people who tried to overthrow Hitler himself. And Pastor Bonhoeffer's reflections on faith that rise in response to injustice and prison and even the hiddenness of God, they are among some of the most profound writings in our Christian literature. He would often sort of refer to this concept of us yearning and wanting a God who, like a superhero, would fly in our lives with mighty power and overturn the challenges we're in and turn our deep despair quickly into joy. But he reminds us that that's not how God has chosen to be with us. Instead, he reminds us that God does not determine the circumstances of our lives. God is not like some puppeteer just waving his hand and making us go in certain places and have certain things happening in our lives. No, rather, God is just present with us. God rejoices when we're happy. God suffers with us when tragedy strikes. And God loves us all along the way. We're reminded over and over again, I think, that God manifests itself. God's love comes alive. It's in itself through the compassion of other people, through a kind word or a gentle touch. God's love manifests itself in those fleeting moments when trust prevails and peace somehow fills our hearts. And God's love is ever-present, I think especially when we give up that fight to control every aspect of our lives, those uncontrollable situations and circumstances that come upon us. God truly is there. Tragedy and grief, challenges and fear, and often all of those things can silence us or paralyze us. But often too, so often, they can open us to know God in ways that were not otherwise possible. We become aware to God, even though other times we might feel God is hidden. I think in those deepest moments of vulnerability, those deepest moments we become so raw and so available to the presence of God that's seen in unexpected ways. If you know the stories of the Hunger Games, it's a little bit like Katniss in that first Hunger Games book, who is refusing to allow the government to win, refusing to choose between her life or her sister's. And she makes an unexpected choice, an act of compassion, one that many people probably would not make. And that act of compassion, that act of love and justice, sets in motion an entire turn of events that changes everything, including the society as a whole. Today begins the season of Advent, a special Sunday where we do a beautiful litany, and tonight we'll have the wonderful antiphons service. We are reminded that Advent begins this liturgical cycle in the church year where we are called to be quiet, called to listen and stay awake. The tone of Advent is not something that you might expect. It's not all about bells and whistles and preparing for Christmas in highfalutin ways. The blue color, the somber feeling of the music, all of it is distinct for Advent, encouraging us to be more reflective, more subdued, a contrast to what's hectic around us in the world. In Godly Play, we're told that Christmas and Easter are two of the great mysteries of our faith. And we're told that the season of Advent, but also the season of Lent, are seasons to prepare for the great mystery. For that, if we don't have the season of preparation, you'll miss the great mystery altogether. During the four Sundays of Advent, we are preparing for Christmas, the birth of Christ. And on this first Sunday of Advent, we are asked and called to stay awake. Staying awake means we are to stay aware and attentive to the world around us. At first reading of this gospel, as I was preparing for today, I thought, stay awake. So many of us have hardly enough time to sleep. Perhaps this is the season to sleep, to rest, and to feel that you are fully aware in the time of being awake. We are called to be aware of what's happening inside of us. How is God acting in and through our lives? But God is also calling us to action, calling us to deep love and deep compassion, to hope and to trust, even when all seems lost or uncertain. This call is not about a magical thinking. It's not about a God who can wave a wand. I think that's more of a childlike faith. God's call is about a maturing faith, a growing faith, a faith that goes deeper through the challenges of life, providing us the substance to sustain us through the most difficult times, affording us the ability to find peace and love and hope despite all obstacles to the contrary. I think God's call is to remind us that when all seems lost, when all seems uncertain and the door has closed and another one has not yet opened, when we're living in fear and anxiety, we are called to be reminded to stop, to look, to be attentive, to breathe deeply, to be still and possibly just be, so that we can be aware of God's presence. And when we have those moments of quiet and rest, may we be assured of the presence of God, perhaps clinging to the stories through Scripture of God's presence, but also in the stories of our own lives that lead us on into the future. And also, of course, through prayer. Through prayer and all of it being enabling us to know God as a God who is a God of peace and hope. And sometimes those moments are elusive. Sometimes those moments slip away all too quickly. But I pray that during this time of Advent, you are finding moments of intentionally quiet silence and just being, so that you may catch a glimpse of hope and catch a glimpse of love and know that this is a wonderful time to be reminded of the potential for new life, the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. And may you know the comfort of that God that is with us, and somehow, some way, because of God's presence, all will be well. For that I say thanks be to God. Amen.